All right, it's that time. We call it WAYD. What are you doing? We shake our heads. We just don't understand what these people are thinking. So to wrap up crunch time on a Tuesday, let's let Nick lead off.
All right. To Steve Sarkisian, Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator, I ask.
What are you doing?
Sark was hired just a couple days after the Super Bowl loss to replace Kyle Shanahan after he turned the 2016 Falcons offense into one of the best in NFL history. He would have won the Super Bowl if he had just run it like once in the fourth quarter, but we're not talking about that. Sark in the offseason said he would be the guy to come in to learn the terminology, the vocabulary. He was going to learn the offense and then help the guys run it the way they had before, so it was going to be all on him. That sounds simple enough, and it's just not working. You're not doing it, Sark. 5 games this season, the Falcons have taken their foot off the gas instead of just putting the game away first, trying to run out the clock. Falcons are just trying to cross the finish line, you know, with just enough to win instead of absolutely putting their opponent to bed first. And you could see it, heart attack wins against the Bears, Packers, and Lions, and then they flat out coasted in the second half, up 17 against the Dolphins last week. The Dolphins! Steve, with Jay Cutler, they only you only put up 17 points on the Dolphins, and you come on, Sark. Don't forget you've got Julio Jones on your side as well. Don't be afraid to force the ball to literally a 1A, 1B receiver in the NFL. He is a monster. Give him the ball and go for the kill. Don't coast to the finish line. Start making some changes or go back to eating your boogers, as I ask.
Oh, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. You pick Sarkisian. I have a team he used to coach. To the Washington Husky offense, I ask.
What are you doing?
Seriously, against that defense? With one of the more experienced backfields in America, a crew that carried you to the college football playoff last season, one touchdown, and took you 54 minutes to figure that out against a Sun Devil defense that, with that incredible performance, are still among the worst 35 in the country after being second worst in total defense in the nation last year. An Arizona State defense that allowed 31 points to New Mexico State, 52 at Texas Tech, and had allowed at least 30 points in each game this year and the last six of 2016. So much for figuring out this conference or the national scene. Well, I guess we actually do have to play these games after all, as we ask.
What are you doing?
My next one is to people continually blaming Buster Posey for the catcher's interference rule, I ask.
What are you doing?
This came up on Saturday night after Wilson Contreras blocked the plate illegally against the Dodgers. And I found a timeline courtesy of Grant Brisby, who covers the MLB for SB Nation and also the Giants. May 25th, 2011, Buster Posey breaks his ankle. June 2011 through October 16, 2013, MLB and Bud Selig do nothing about home plate collisions. October 17th, Alex Avila is injured in the ALCS. February 24th, 2014, MLB introduces rules on banning home plate collisions. So it's not the Buster Posey rule. Yes, he's the bigger name. He was the reigning rookie of the year in 2011 when he broke his ankle. But the rule's not 100% because he broke his ankle immediately in 2011. And the rule makes sense as it is anyways. You can't block the base or any other of the three bases on the diamond. Why are you allowed to block home? I mean, Alex Rodriguez was called out for intentionally hitting the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's hand running to first base in 2004. Why should running over a catcher be any different? If you know you're out and you're hosed at home plate and you're trying to intentionally hit the catcher, is that not the same thing? You don't see guys, I mean, you see guys all the time when they steal second base. They go into these incredible swim moves to try and avoid the tag and get the, you know, get the steal. Do it at home plate and stop blaming Buster Posey for the rule that takes away a play that shouldn't be in baseball anyways, as I ask.
What are you doing?
Buster. So this one hurts a bit, but to legendary broadcaster Al Michaels, I ask.
What are you doing?
And during the Giant win over the Broncos Sunday night, he alluded to what the New York franchise had been through with tough losses and injuries, but in trying to add humor, kind of went into the gutter. He made this remark about the vile, disgusting piece of garbage, soon-to-be former Hollywood bigwig, who stands accused to some pretty despicable acts.
I mean, let's face it, the Giants are coming off a worse week than Harvey Weinstein, and they're up by 14 points.
Only my LA guy comes up with that one.
You know, Collinsworth is right, but and I'm not talking about a boycott or somebody losing their job, just about a guy who's a California guy, an LA guy, and time's a major factor when it comes to commentary. As Stewie would say, too soon. And the Hall of Famer should know better. He should be better. It's over. Michaels did not support Weinstein or commit any of those heinous acts. But geez, Al, of all people, et tu, Brute, as we ask.
What are you doing?
All right, I'm not going with a homer again for my third one, but to the owner of the Columbus Crew, I ask.
What are you doing?
That owner is Anthony Precourt. He owns the MLS's Columbus Crew, a team that the Portland Timber fans should know about as they beat them in the MLS Cup Final in 2015. Precourt is threatening to move the Crew to Austin, Texas in 2019 if they cannot agree to finding a new downtown location for a stadium for the club. The Crew's current stadium has been the home of the Crew since 1999. So it's 18, 19 years old, and the stadium really isn't an issue. It's just the location. I guess some of the amenities aren't up to the standards like some of the newer MLS stadiums, but it's got to be more affordable to fix that than flat out moving a franchise 1,200 miles across the country. Even various groups have met with Precourt offering to buy out 50 to 100% of his ownership to keep the team in Columbus, where they would then possibly work for a new downtown stadium under new leadership, which, of course, that stadium would be funded through taxpayers no matter what city the Crew end up playing in. So here's yet another case of another owner looking to pawn taxpayers into paying for a multi-million dollar stadium that would be charging through the roof for tickets, parking, food, and slowly pricing out the fans that want to be there. Just take a look at Dean Spanos and the Chargers to see how using the bargaining chip of moving a franchise has worked out for that team, as I ask.
What are you doing?
And lastly, do I have to make this a quick one?
We got a minute.
All right. To Cubby manager Joe Maddon, I ask.
What are you doing?
Look, I get not wanting to go to your closer. Some managers prefer their end of game guy, win the game, shake the catcher's hand, put a check in the save column, and move on. So let's shelve that for a second. But seeing how John Lackey dealt with the first hitter he faced, Michael Taylor, should have sounded the alarm. Considering it's a league championship series, you were down a game, tied in the ninth. You should have already risen from DEFCON 5 to 3. This should have pushed you to 2 just when Justin Turner stepped in, the Dodgers' money man. Just the fact Lackey shook off every pitch Contreras signaled, then had two different mound meetings. You know, at best, Turner was going to hit a rocket. Your only hope was it was at somebody. And the fan who moved to his left to make the catch deep in the seats doesn't count. Then your media hissy fit. Very disappointing. Expect more from you, Joseph John Maddon, as we ask.
What are you doing?